very hard on fitness and the running game.
That's what kind of led me to want this dream of being a racing driver.
There's no point in talking about anything except standards of excellence.
We will deal with the Tailteann Cup if we're in it, and we'll certainly give it every bit of respect.
There's no feeling that beats playing for Ireland up the
elevation. My God, I'm going to do everything that is possible to bring us there.
This is Sports Beat Extra on Beat.
I'm Aldrin Johnson, and welcome to this week's Sports Beat Extra. Coming up on today's show, later Lydia will be joined by Owen Welch, who will be live from the Leinster hurling final between Kilkenny and Dublin. But first, we're doing something a little bit different this week. Bruce Wardrop is a lecturer in sport and exercise science at SETU and a successful graduate of the University Certificate in Radio and Podcasting run in conjunction with Beat 102-103. As part of the Radio and Podcasting course, he had to create a piece for radio. We found it so fascinating, we wanted to share it with you. It's on the world of fitness influencing FITSPO or FITSFO.
Sports Beat Extra.
Beat 102-103.
Fitness journey alert. It's nearly the new year. I'm going on a fitness journey.
You wanted more workout content, so I'm delivering. This is leg day.
Here we are. It's a new week. And we've got an opportunity now to do something different, to make better choices, to live a different life, to give ourselves a chance to feel happy.
Fitness inspiration, Fitspiration, FITSPO. It's a social media phenomenon which is supposed to inspire us all to lead healthier lifestyles. Social media is full of fitness influencers. Between Instagram and TikTok, there are literally hundreds of thousands of accounts churning out staggering amounts of content for us to consume. Searching for hashtag FITSPO or FITSPIRATION will currently return over 100 million posts on Instagram alone. It's even spilling over into real life, with successful health and wellness events giving fitness influencers top billing.
Wellfest is back with world-class presenters including Joe Wicks, MBE, Vogue Williams, Roz Purcell, Dr. Hazel Wallace, the food medic, and many more.
In my day job as a lecturer, I try to educate the next generation of fitness professionals, and to a certain extent, I feel like I'm competing with fitness influencers for my students' attention. I consume fitness influencer content just like everyone else, and I can understand their language and style. However, as a geriatric millennial with a prematurely grey beard, when I try to deliver fitness information, it just doesn't quite sound the same to the students when it's coming from me. So, I decided to try and find out more about my competition. Who is influencing my students?
Who's your favourite fitness influencer?
James Smith.
Dr. Marcus Rotel.
Probably Ben Carpenter.
Anna Archer.
Keisha Power.
Probably have to be Noel Dazel from, he's South African, but he works over in LA in America.
Aisling Sheridan.
It's the same name, Aisling, but she's Aisling Farrell.
He'd probably be my favourite. He's a professional bodybuilder.
She's from Dungarvan, local where I'm from. And she does kind of a bit of everything. She does workouts, she does nutrition programs. She kind of is based more about around women, so.
She's a running fitness influencer. Well, she used to do like all gym content and stuff, but now she's just really focusing on running.
She's a footballer from Cavan, and she plays AFL as well in Australia. And she does online fitness programs for GAA.
Fitness influencers need to produce eye-catching, attention-grabbing content in order to stay relevant. The majority of fitness inspiration posts contain images and videos of thin, athletic women and lean, muscular men promoting exercise, fitness and healthy lifestyles. Superficially, it's fair to assume that this could positively influence viewers to emulate what they see.
Definitely motivates me. Like he's very inspirational. Like he's funny, but he's also has a serious side to him.
I feel like it relates to me and my training directly.
Yeah, no, it would motivate me. Like, if I'd be, like, lying in bed watching it and one of her videos come up, I'm like, oh, well, now I have to go to the gym.
Kind of real straightforward, humorous as well, but kind of just basic training, nothing, no fluff about it, just simple stuff, really.
Here's a sample of some of that real straightforward, simple, no fluff advice from Mark Ripto.
If you want to look like a big, strong man while you're standing around in your clothes, the best thing to do is get your deadlift up.
Right.
And there's one way to get to be a big, strong man. That's to lift heavier weights for 3 or 4 years. Every time you go to the gym, heavier weight must be lifted.
I can't argue with Mark there. Simple, straightforward advice, nothing complicated or sexy. If you did follow his advice, you would see positive results. However, there is a growing body of evidence that this type of social media content may have a negative impact on the viewers, with pressures to meet aspirational appearance ideals resulting in greater body dissatisfaction and misinformation about training, food and nutrition spreading like wildfire.
There's nothing in this world that will remove fat off of your body faster than cold water. Water is 29 times more thermogenic than air. Sitting in here for 3 minutes will remove 1,600 calories off of my body.
This might sound crazy, but is it possible to receive nutrients from foods without actually having to eat them?
If I hold up this magnified photograph of spinach, what is that? It has the energy signature of spinach. Now, if I place my photograph right next to the photograph of spinach, there's a download of spinach energy into me.
Okay, so while I had no problem with the advice we heard a few minutes ago, hopefully we can all agree that those last three voices were talking nonsense. But it is attention-grabbing nonsense. When it comes to who gets our attention, source credibility theory suggests that we evaluate influencers based on our perception of their trustworthiness, expertise, and attractiveness. Trustworthiness simply describes the extent to which we believe what the influencer is saying. So, do my students trust their favourite influencer?
Yeah, I do, definitely. He's very trustworthy because he's very open about his past, but he's also open about his steroid use because he's a professional bodybuilder.
He has a trustworthy face and he says everything with confidence, so I would believe him.
Not everything, but definitely like 90% of it, yeah.
Yeah, I think her stuff is very good and it's very relevant. She's built up, obviously, clientele as well, so we can see that from her posts on Instagram especially, that she has a lot of people following her as well.
Yeah, because like you'd see the results that she's after getting over the years. Like she's after winning All-Ireland's with Kilkenny, she won Leinster Championships, so like you trust that what she's doing is working and that's real.
Okay, so in general, our students do trust the influencers that they're following. Next up, expertise, which refers to the influencer's perceived competence. Interestingly, research suggests that it doesn't matter whether the person is an actual expert or not, just whether or not they are perceived as an expert. So, do my students think their favourite influencers are experts with proper qualifications?
Yeah, I would say he's an expert. I think he's been a personal trainer since 2006, something like that. And he's written a book as well.
He's got the PhD and he's also, I don't know if he still is, he was a competitive bodybuilder.
Ah, like, obviously in our field she is, like, she obviously has a lot of knowledge on GA and camogie or whatever, but, and gym-based as well, so.
He's, like, very knowledgeable about the topics as well. He's got the college in sport, I think it's either exercise or sports science or something across the lines of it, and he's, so he knows the stuff, like.
I don't know if I'd say expert. I know she has knowledge on what she does, but no, I wouldn't say expert.
No, I wouldn't say. Okay. She has a main job as well. She's like a primary teacher. So this kind of on the side, I do think she's very good, but I wouldn't say she's expert.
Okay, so we have less of a consensus there on whether these fitness influencers are perceived as experts. The final aspect of source credibility theory suggests the attractiveness or physical appearance of the influencer is key to getting our attention. This is typically judged at the initial contact and it impacts our subsequent evaluation of the person and what they are presenting to us. So, do the students think their favourite fitness influencer is attractive?
Yeah, it's attractive enough.
Tell me what he looks like.
He's kind of got like, you know, brown hair, you know, the kind of like boy band like fringe going on. Kind of like just a well shaped out beard and very lean. And
I think his personality and his honesty make him good looking. Is he the blonde hair, blue eyes, living in Australia, tanned up? Yeah, he does have a good looking face. Yeah. That's...
He's not bad looking, yeah. He's well tall, he's about 6'3", he's black hair. If you kind of picture your average, like, typical US Marine or whatever, kind of think of him with the kind of square, kind of jaw, kind of tall.
Not my type.
Yeah, she is. She's blonde, tall, kind of fit looking, obviously. She's sporty, kind of.
She's obviously like what you think of when you think of the gym.
Yeah, I'd say she's really pretty. Like, she's not really tall, but she's not really small. She's brown hair. I don't know. And then she just has that like kind of female gym physique then as well.
She's pretty. Like, yeah, she's well toned. That's what I would say. Her body's nice.
Unsurprisingly, all of the students felt their favourite fitness influencer was attractive, even if some of them were a touch uncomfortable with the question. Often I feel that in an effort to grab attention and enhance perceived attractiveness, lots of fitness influencer content can be over-sexualised with a strong focus on appearance and objectification of the body or body parts. No one was owning up to liking this type of content, but there were plenty of comments about real versus fake when it came to fitness influencers.
Yeah, that's probably the biggest downfall of the whole fitness influencer thing. It's just gotten so kind of mixed up now. Like, it's not, some of the stuff isn't natural. So some lads are just freak genetics maybe, but there's some lads you can clearly see are just on everything.
Like the photos in the mirror, like from different angles and kind of stuff like that. Like stuff that's just not real. Like people posing in a mirror and the camera's way above their head, like it's not real life. Or putting like a pose on with her body as well. I just hate that. Like,
she doesn't seem fake like a lot of the other people. She puts up like realistic stuff. Like, she doesn't just put up like the good side of exercise and running and going to the gym. Like, she puts up like the downside, kind of anxiety and being in pain and stuff. So she doesn't like make it look fake.
After all those chats with my students, I feel somewhat reassured. They don't seem to be persuaded by the attention-grabbing fitness influencers and instead have decided to give their attention to influencers they feel they can relate to on some level, who post content that they are interested in, and of course, who they find attractive. Now, perhaps there is a little bit of confirmation bias here. Everyone I spoke to is studying exercise science and they may be a little bit more clued in. For the rest of us, a little more diligence and awareness may help. Here are a few tips which may help you have a more enjoyable and enlightened experience online. First up, think, does this content make you feel good? If you experience guilt or body shame when you view something, then it's probably content you should avoid. Next, focus on content that encourages functionality, strength, health, and aging well, and be wary of fitness influencers who constantly promote weight loss or share overly sexualized or objectifying images. Try and follow appropriately qualified professionals and make sure that they stay in their lane. Just because someone has a degree in one area, it doesn't mean they're qualified to give advice in another. Look for diversity and variety in the people you follow. Different opinions, body shapes and sizes, genders, and different colour skin should all have a place to ensure you avoid existing in an online echo chamber. And finally, don't be afraid to express what you really find attractive.
Is Mark a good-looking man? Do you think he's an attractive man?
Of course. He's I think he might be the ideal male body type. But
okay,
he might
so
be
describe him to me. Tell me what he looks like.
He looks like a bald pink lobster. Like a bald pink lobster. But a masculine bald pink lobster.
Sports Beat Extra. I'm joined now by the creator of the doc piece, Bruce Wardrop. What made you sort of want to tackle the subject matter you're talking about? Because it's something I know very little about. And I think probably unless you're actively watching that space, you probably mightn't have heard of it either.
So the honest answer is I was doing a course in conjunction with work and here in the radio station in radio and podcast production, and I had to produce the piece as an assessment, and I wanted to kind of challenge myself by putting together lots of different voices, interviewing a few different people. And in work, I work as a lecturer in the college in SCTU Waterford, so I had all the students in front of me and I wanted to ask them questions about something that I thought might interest them and also interested me. And I chose, you know, talking about fitness influencers because I, as I say, as I said in the piece, I sometimes feel like I'm competing with the fitness influencers a little bit when I'm trying to educate the students. If I had a euro for every time a student said to me, oh, what do you think of this thing I saw online? Or have you seen such and such a person posting about something? And I'm not trying to discredit or debunk it, but I feel like it's something the influencers have my students' attention. I'm fighting for their attention. So I just wanted to find out more about what they thought about the people they were viewing.
Yeah, and obviously you got a range of responses then in the actual doc piece itself as well. And I was kind of almost blown away by sort of, there was obviously elements of variation to people's answers, but a lot of them sort of steered in the same lines of kind of, would they consider them an expert or not? There may be a bit of variation. But
yeah, I wasn't really surprised. So, you know, we tend to pay attention to the people that we, first and foremost, they have to grab our attention. So it's usually someone that we find attractive or that they have something, maybe a snappy headline or a post that's caught our eye, and then from there, do we think they're trustworthy and do we perceive them to be an expert? So do they come across as an expert? So when I asked them to think about their favorite fitness influencer, it wasn't a surprise that they all kind of fell into line. But I was pleasantly surprised. You know, they seemed to be pretty tuned into what was good content and what was bad content. We across in the college now, we always try to get our students to be critical thinkers, so not just to accept things at face value, to question, well, why all the time? Why is that? What's happening here? Does it make sense? And I think that's what I would say to people when they view Pete's stuff online. If you see someone coming out with something that's grabbed your attention, question it. Question why does this make sense? Is it believable? Is it plausible? Is it just something that you want to believe because it's been framed nicely? I think that's really important to be a critical thinker. Always be a little bit skeptical about information that's presented to you.
Was there any part of, say, the responses that did surprise you then, or was it kind of pretty straightforward? Was it what you were expecting, obviously?
I was pleasantly surprised by the fact that the students that I spoke to seemed to be, they were more critical of the content they were viewing than I had perhaps anticipated. But again, there might be a little bit of selection bias there. They're all students on a sports and exercise course, and they're, as I said, they're being encouraged by us to be critical thinkers. Whereas maybe if I went down to John Roberts Square there and plucked a similar age group of people, I might get very different answers from them. The people they're following, the content they're interested in, their attitude towards the content might be a little bit different. So I was pleasantly surprised, by the answers that our students gave us, but I don't think that would be exactly replicable in a different population.
Yeah. And how do you think then that the radio and podcasting course, how do you think that sort of helped to elevate creating this piece? Do you think you learned a lot from it to bring into it?
Absolutely, I did. Yeah, it was great. So I currently host a podcast and I've hosted a different one. So the first one was the one I did create during lockdown as a way to try and communicate with my students. It was called Win Win. And in that, I use my network of contacts to speak to people who work in the health, sport and fitness industry about their careers and what they did. So that was me dipping my toe into the world of podcasting. Then as a happy coincidence, just as I was running out of people to talk to on that podcast, the Irish Sport and Exercise Science Association came into being. That's a representative body for people who are either studying or working in the sport and exercise science field in Ireland, which is a really, really positive progression for people in the industry. They asked me to come on board and host a podcast for them. So now I have their network of people. So I was, the podcast is ongoing, where we speak to people who work in either sport, exercise science, athletes, and hear about their impression of how sport and exercise science has helped their career. So I was doing all that in the background, and the opportunity to do the course came on board, and I really did learn a lot about production, about audio quality, interview skills, and I'm able to put that into practice now, and hopefully the podcast that I currently produce will be of better standard going forward.
Let me just ask quickly, so obviously, you've done this doc piece now. Is there another one you'd like to do down the line? And if so, is there a particular subject matter that you'd like to tackle that way? Would it be fitness again, or would it be something different?
I think there might be some space to do more content like that. Like if anyone had any suggestions for stuff they'd like to know about, or like feel free to give me a shout. My contact details are freely available online. And through working with the students, I think more stuff like this will definitely come up. The podcast has taken up most of my mental production space at the moment, but maybe as the semester kicks off again in September, I'd look to dip my toe into this again.
Absolutely. Well, Bruce, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure. Fantastic work on the documentary piece, and hopefully we'll hear more of you again.
Tracking sport across the southeast.
Sportsbeat Extra.
Hi, it's Lydia. You're listening to Sportsbeat Extra, and we have a very special treat. We're going to go live to Croke Park. Owen Walsh is there live reporting for Beat Dublin v Kilkenny. Owen, how are we doing? Are we nearly ready for 6 p.m. throw-in?
We certainly are, Lydia. Certainly are. The atmosphere is really starting to build up here. The GAA are hoping for over 25,000 people here tonight, and I definitely think the weather is certainly helping it come to the capital.
Talk us through the vibe there. I mean, are you seeing a sea of blue? Is it black and amber? What's happening up there?
It's a mix, because we're just that literally after finishing a thriller here and there. Offaly have just leash and are going to be promoted to the Liam McCarthy Cup next year, so they've really up the ante and up the atmosphere. Otherwise, it's kind of split half and half, I would say, between Kilkenny supporters and Dub supporters so far. You know, it's getting there. It's a great evening. It's hurling. It's fantastic weather, and it's only a slight wind, which I think is blowing down to the canal end. But that's about it.
Well, I was just about to say, you've gotten the weather. It's all in your favour here now. And we always see Croke Park obviously brings out a lot of families. It brings out a lot of the young adults that really want to get involved, and especially when it's a final, it's really something that is kind of a memorable occasion for everyone, right?
Yeah, certainly. And you know, Kilkenny are going for 5 Leinster titles in a row. It's hard to believe today during the competition of Leinster. It always means something to Kilkenny to win a Leinster final. And I would certainly say now they've been blowing hot and cold a bit this year. Kilkenny drew against Carlow, which they would have been expected to win. And similarly, tonight's opposition, Dublin, nearly beat Kilkenny when the sides last met in the round robin last month. But an injury time goal by Owen Cody literally stole victory for the Cats. So it is really a lot to play for. And just if I can have a little sideways segue, the great TJ Reid is going for his 13th Leinster winner's medal tonight, which would equal his clubmates Henry Shefflin's all-time record. So there's a lot of drama on and off the field, but certainly a great family day out as well.
Absolutely. Well, drama is what we want on something like a final like this. And I have to ask, Owen, am I allowed to ask, who do you think is going to take away the gold tonight? Who is it, Dublin or Kilkenny, is going to take this win?
Oh God, well, as a Kilkenny man now, I can't say anything else but Kilkenny, but I think it's going to be tough. The Dubs are out for revenge, especially from what happened last month. I think Kilkenny, though, have, as the team is named, the guys that we were worried about all week, and there was rumours they were injured, they seem to be back. They're all named by Derek Ling. John Donnelly, Mikey Carey and Adrian Mullen is back after a few weeks break because of an injury. So I think because of that, I just give Kilkenny a slight chance to come. Kilkenny like finals and they like winning finals, but I know the Dubs will have something to say about that. But all in all, I think it's the makings of a fascinating encounter and a great night's hurling, Lydia.
Absolutely, Owen. Well, listen, I will leave you, get to your seat and prepare for this 6 o'clock throw-in. Thank you so much for your time, and we look forward to seeing the Leinster hurling final happening at 6 o'clock tonight.
Thanks a million, Lydia. Talk to you later.
Take care. Bye.
Sportsbeat Extra.
That's all for this week's Sportsbeat Extra. You can listen back on our website, beat102103.com/podcasts. Coming up next, Megan has the soundtrack to your Saturday night, Beat Anthems.